Welcome to Island Conversations with Sherry Bracken, where we talk about issues facing our Big Island community. Island Conversations, Sunday mornings on KWXX at 6:30 and on B97B93 at 7 a.m. Or listen anytime at kwxx.com. Island Conversations, brought to you by KTA Superstores, where you're someone special every day since 1916. Now, here's your host and producer, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha, good morning. Welcome to Island Conversations. We are on KWXX and B97, B93 on Sundays, and the interviews rebroadcast the following Friday on KPUA 670 AM in Hilo. Hawaii County's budget officially stands at $584 million, around $67 million more than the previous year. And the current budget, as proposed by the mayor and ultimately amended and approved by the county council, included adding about 95 new positions. Many in our community have real concerns about our ever-growing budget. And in past years, many business leaders have encouraged the county, via the mayor and council members, to take a new approach to budget rather than just continuing to add money and personnel. Now, I've had conversations with several council members, especially Tim Richards of North Hawaii and Sue Lee Loy of Hilo and Ashley Kirkowitz of Puna about exactly that. Today, we're going to be talking with Sue Lee Loy, who represents a portion of Hilo, and Ashley Kirkowitz, who represents a portion of Puna, who are advocating for a brand new approach. Good morning. Aloha, Sue Lee Loy.
Aloha, Sherry. Good morning.
And Ashley Kirkowitz, thank you for being here.
Pleasure to be here, Sherry.
Okay, so the approach you are talking about is something called budgeting for outcomes. What is that?
Sherry, I came from the private sector, and so we have clients that give us a budget, and they want a particular outcome. And so foundational to that is knowing where you're going. When I came into the county council and realized we don't really have a strategic plan, and that budgets are developed basically by looking at what you spent last year and carrying that over to the following year, it made me think we're not making the best strategic budgetary decision. So budgeting for outcomes is essentially identifying what your goals, your objectives are, and then aligning your resources, your funding to achieve those goals.
Where did this concept come from?
Washington State actually put it together in the early 2000s. It really became very popular during the recession. It was adopted by the city of Baltimore. Municipalities all over the country, Seattle, Los Angeles, Boulder, Colorado, Santa Monica, they have all adopted this, and it's growing with a lot of enthusiasm around the country because municipalities are recognizing that we have a myriad of challenges. Affordable housing, we need diverse economies, we've got climate change to grapple with, and so how do we work smarter, more strategically with the limited resources that we do have?
I'm glad to hear you explain that it's being used by municipalities all over, because one of the things that's been said often about the Hawaii County budget is that, well, we're different because we have mandates, we have ADA mandates, and we have personnel that require retirements. But every municipality in the whole country has the same challenges, I believe.
Yeah, Sherry, that's absolutely correct. I think every government municipality has the same four corners: the need for infrastructure, bargaining unit contracts, and then delivering services based on charter or whatever their governing documents are, and giving that back to the community. And so I don't see it as being any different. And so if other municipals can do it, we should be able to also.
What is the process? What are you two advocating be done that's sort of different from the way we do things today? In a recent conversation with the mayor, I know he said that basically the process is you look at what your revenues are, and then that's how much money you spend. Or if you need to spend more money than that, then you have to raise taxes. So it seemed like it's just looking sort of at the status quo and then adding to it, as you said. Tell us what this process is. Ashley, why don't you explain that to us?
I'm going to take a step back and just kind of talk really broadly thematically with things that are happening across the state and the nation. There's something called the Aloha Plus Challenge that all four counties and the state signed on to back in 2014. What those are essentially localized goals of the United Nations SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, which are a blueprint for peace and prosperity now and into the future. And so with this localized version, each county has identified ways in which they can achieve international goals at the local level. Food production, green workforce, you know, preservation of resources, all of these things. And so because it's being recognized right now across the state, and there is something called the Aloha Plus dashboard that measures progress towards these goals, we thought, hey, if the rest of the state is doing this, if Kauai has launched a challenge, if Oahu has, if Maui is getting on board to do so, we as Hawaii Island don't want to be left behind. And now that we're in the process of creating a budget, it just makes sense. Let's take a look at the goals that are articulated in this local framework that marries nicely nationally and internationally and start to position our budget in our resources in a more strategic way.
So how's it practically speaking going to work?
We know that we can't do things across the board. I think it's going to be too much disruption to do every single department this first budgetary cycle. So Sue and I are talking about working with a few departments. We're just trying to think of things that are very forward-facing, right? Parks and recreation. We have a lot of families, a lot of kupuna that use our parks. So working with them initially. Research and development, which I think is oftentimes an under-leveraged asset here at the county. So positioning them to be working with the community to leverage public-private partnerships, which is something that we are not tapping. And then maybe even looking at a bigger department like environmental management, because we really have to get a handle on our waste stream here because we're an island and it's got to go somewhere.
Give us an example of how that would work with any one department. Sue, do you want to do that?
Yeah, well, first of all, Ashley mentioned, not only did we identify those particular departments, we also scaled it where they were small or medium or large size. So not only were they small, maybe 15, 20 employees, but you know, someplace at 300, so that other departments within those ranges can use them as a model. In addition to that, we also identified agencies that also could tap into other resources, not only through their fee structure, but leveraging their grants. We really did take a real comprehensive look and tried to pick agencies that could cherry pick out of what they do that other agencies could use. So back to your question, Cherry.
The question is, how would this actually work for any one department? What would functionally have to be done?
And borrowing from the Nonprofit Grant and Aid Committee that I sat on, what we did is take a look at, just like a nonprofit, the amount of money we give them, what they're using it for, how they're leveraging it with the other resources that they have within their agency, funding, fee structure, and then reporting back and delivering that to the community they serve. What I actually see is within the departments or within the agencies, there are some programs that they hang on to and fund, but I haven't seen any real movement, any new return on investment for a program that they're using. And or other agencies have portions of it too. So if we could create those synergies where the money is being sent to one department, but still leveraging it and giving back to the community through that return on investment, maybe we can move that program out of parks, because parks, R&D and police are doing all similar things. House it in one place, make sure all the money is going into one place and the output. That's what the community wants. The community wants government working for them.
Well, absolutely, that's true. And actually, when you said that there are some programs that may be housed in several different locations, that makes accountability a little challenging and probably leads to duplication.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, the employees that go with it. So an employee who's doing it in parks is also doing it at police, is also doing it in another department. We're paying three different individuals to do simply one program. We need to get them all lined up.
Well, obviously, there's a huge concern about the number of personnel the county has and continues to add. And this is something I've talked about with many people before. But once an employee is on the county payroll, they're usually on the county payroll forever. And that means into retirement and beyond. So it's a far bigger impact than just hiring a $50,000 a year person. So, yeah. How do you plan to start? What's going to be your first step in possibly making this a reality? Because clearly, Hawaii County has been sort of mired in its budget process for a long, long time. So how are you going to start this and make it work?
So thank you for that. That's a great question, Cherry. And I'm actually borrowing what we did at the nonprofit committee and putting out just a questionnaire to these respective departments. It's really, what's your budget? What's your desired outputs or outcomes? Just marching them through that. What we want to do is every single department gives us what their program objectives and goals are. And every year, it's the same thing. And so what we're trying to do is have them refine those goals and objectives so that there's a deliverable at the end. I'm hopeful that using what we are doing with the Nonprofit Grant and Aid Committee and just giving it to those respective agencies, it's just one extra sheet of paper. We can drill down, help them. And that's one thing the council members have an opportunity to do during our budget cycle, is we see each and every department and we're sitting there going, hey, maybe if we partnered these two things together, we could create more for our community. Ashley was a freshman this year. She asked some really, really great questions. And I know now, you know, she's ready. She's ready to put all of this, refine it, deliver back to the community.
Is this something, Ashley, that you think can be achieved in this budget cycle that's going to begin in March of this year, when the administration has an obligation to present the county council with the preliminary budget?
I'm very hopeful. Sue and I are finalizing a resolution where we are strongly urging the administration to adopt this new framework, and we're going to give them all the tools to be successful. We're not the type of council members to say, go figure it out yourself. We've written every single word in this resolution. We are prepared to defend it and to also work with the departments to make sure that this initiative is successful, and that is something that they've really bought into. I mean, government is very famous for its silos. What we are trying to do is break those silos and encourage more interdepartmental collaboration, but also collaboration with the community and the private sector. Government can't do it alone. I mean, we the people are government. And so we want to find ways to just foster relationships with community to get things done.
How do you see this relating to the current budget process? Does the county have to throw out the current budget process? Or how will this work to ease into the current budget process?
I don't think we're there yet. I mean, if we were really to adopt this and say even entertain the idea of a biennial budget, there would be charter amendments. So I think the idea right now is to just ease into it and figure out what sort of statutory code changes, charter amendments need to happen down the line once we've figured out how things are going to be working here.
You know, and backmapping a little bit to what Ashley said, we're not looking to just turn the switch. We're looking to turn this battleship one degree at a time. And we do not only want to measure the success, but we have to learn from our failures. So really, this will actually be the new kind of pathway forward. We want to take what we can, learn what we can, create better synergies, more forward momentum on good programs, and then maybe just chip away at what might not be working. The status quo, it's not working, Sherry. I've been here for 3 years now, and we can be doing better. We just got to break out of the mold that we're in.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Conversations. I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bracken. Next week, we're going to be talking about measles and measles vaccinations with Dr. Bruce Anderson and Dr. Sarah Park from State Department of Health and Hawaii Island pediatrician, Dr. Peter Locatelli. Today, we're talking with Sue Leloy and Ashley Kirkowitz, two Hawaii County Council members who are working to come up with a way to relook the county's budget. Now, this is not something they may be able to do for this current budget cycle, but it's something they are planning on working on for the next many months. Before we get back to our conversation, let's hear from our excellent sponsor, KTA Superstores.
At KTA, local and fresh means you get the very best Hawaii Island has to offer. The grass-fed meats you find at KTA are raised without added hormones or antibiotics. Our seafood department is stocked with sustainable choices caught in local waters by local fishermen. KTA carries the largest selection of Hawaii Island homegrown produce. Our mountain apple brand is all local, so you know it's fresh and delicious. Local and fresh always tastes best at KTA.
Sue, you and I and Councilmember Tim Richards talked a couple months ago about the fact that the budget is presented to the County Council. You, because of the constraints of the Sunshine Law, have little opportunity to actually really discuss it, no opportunity to look at better ways of doing things. So it's almost as though the County Council's obligation to review and approve the budget, it's almost a rubber stamp as best I can see.
Sherry, and that's my famous line to the administration. I'm not a rubber stamp. And I almost was trying to make a Halloween costume of that this year for giggles. In all seriousness, over the last few months, I've actually talked to Deanna about this process.
And that would be Deanna Sacco, the Director of Finance?
That is correct. And she appreciates piloting this concept with certain departments. There is someone there currently, Steve Hunt. He was with Kauai County. And so he's very familiar with this process. Kauai also has something called OpenGov, a budgeting dashboard where you can track all aspects of the county budget in real time. They've had that platform for 4 to 5 years now. I believe the state of Hawaii has it. Maui County is in the process of acquiring it. We as a council just received a presentation about a month ago. And so in my mind, things are really aligning and it seems very timely for us to figure out, hey, it's time to do things differently. We can do these fundamental shifts.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you've talked with Deanna Sacco because she is the finance department guru and knows pretty much everything about budgets. So I'm glad to hear she's positive.
During the last budget cycle, I did have conversations with Bill Kucharski about this. He's all for the idea. But here's what he said. Once you know, you're going to realize that the problem is so massive and so expensive, you may feel a bit paralyzed. I don't want to live in paralysis. You know, I want to know head on what the challenges we as a county are facing. That way, as Sue said, we know how to position the ship correctly.
Well, and you mentioned Bill Kucharski, who's the head of the Department of Environmental Management, and that's a department that is causing huge concern among community members because out of necessity, they pretty much stopped our recycling programs. And it's upsetting to think that we live on an island and we haven't come up with ways to effectively address our trash.
Sherry, you know, for Mr. Kucharski, that's just not glamorous work. And all too often, when it's not glamorous, nobody wants to put money towards it. So we see a lot of money go to parks because our kids play there, our kupunas are there, but managing our waste, both wastewater and solid waste, is really a critical piece to a thriving community. And so, as Ashley mentioned, yes, it may be a daunting number, but we've got some smart council members, including Councilmember Richards. How can we leverage that? How can we go look for funding? How can we build capacity by way of numbers? But we need to know what the number is. We can't keep shooting in the dark. Like Ashley, I think we're kind of a rush the blitz kind of girls. We want to know. We want to tackle it. But if we stay in the dark, we won't be able to. And I'd rather be honest with our constituency because I believe that this budgeting for outcomes tells them where their money is going and what they actually are getting in return. That's the honesty, the transparency that we want to provide. And this new tool is the way forward.
I've discovered that the county has more inefficiencies than I ever would have thought possible from the standpoint that even I didn't realize how paper intense our county is, that everything is printed out, that you guys don't do really anything online, no electronic timesheets, all your county council documentation that I see is actually always printed out for every one of you. There's a lot going on in the county that seems to be very manual that I don't know if that would come into the processes that you're talking about, but it just feels like our county can be more efficient. And is that part of what you see able to come out of this new budgeting for outcomes process that you're proposing?
Ashley? Absolutely. I mean, we're going to have to just take a good hard look at our operations to figure out how we can be more efficient. I mean, we talked about earlier, now that we've gotten rid of recycling of our various goods, we have a lot of paper that we as county expend. I'm just taking a look at our council boards. You know, these are like 5-inch thick documents that we're getting every couple of weeks, and we don't have a compost facility where we could get that too. So this is a chance for us to take a look at what we're doing and maybe do things better, be more innovative.
One of the objections that I've always heard from the county about making any change in the budget process is that, well, so many of the expenses are just fixed, the personnel expenses, we can't do anything about that. How will that be addressed by budgeting for outcomes?
Well, you're absolutely right. Employee costs are fixed, but there still are other ways. I'm back to our programs. We've got to be able to serve our constituency smarter. Even I want to see our fee structure kind of retooled to meet the current needs. I think some of our programs that are at very modest scales, they need help. And if there's ways through this budgeting for outcomes to identify programs that are really meeting the community needs and meeting them where they're at, we should figure out a way to create not only that same program, but invite leverage, private partnerships, more grant and funding.
At some of the budget forums where we get to ask questions of the mayor and the administration and folks like that, including both of you, suggestions have been made, for example, that the county look at charging off-island people for visiting places such as the Pana'eva Zoo or other facilities that can easily be kept free for local people. Is that something that would also possibly be included in some of this?
Not this first iteration. What we want to do is get the departments on board at sharing their information in a manner that's easily digestible so that we can identify what the successes are and then where they need help. I think that's the first step. If we do go down the road of increasing park fees, the zoo is the only one with two tigers. I say that all the time. Those are opportunities. Those are definitely opportunities. You know, both Ashley and I travel all over the place and you pay to go park at a beach. You know, that's how other municipals do it. And the irony is when those visitors come here, they're actually expecting to pay. So I don't see it as a big shift for our visitors who are accustomed to paying.
Some of the ships that dock in Hilo take groups of people to the Pana'eva Zoo. They charge those people for the visit to the Pana'eva Zoo, but we, Hawaii County, don't charge those tour companies or the visitors. What else should people understand about this?
I want people to trust in government. I think we could have a lot of fun with this. At some point, it'd be great if we could do a participatory style of budgeting where council members and the administration are going out into the various communities and saying, what are your priorities? You know, if we get a constituent survey going, they can help us to prioritize what the goals and outcomes we as the county should be working to achieve. We could have so much fun with this. I'm just hoping this is going to be well received. There are a number of groups in the community, the various chambers of commerce, Rotary Club, you have Lilio Kalani Trust and their work to build a resilient Hawaii. You also have Vibrant Hawaii Island, which is modeled after vibrant communities in Canada. The Tamarack Institute has worked with various municipalities in Canada to figure out how they can alleviate poverty dramatically by aligning policymakers with the private sector, with social services like nonprofits, and then the community. People with lived experience, get everybody to the table to really figure out what the challenges are so that your solutions are very cohesive and holistic. So we have a lot of partners that are building capacity that are standing ready to assist Hawaii County to make this happen. Because we have seats at NACO and WIR, these are like the national counterparts of HSAC, Hawaii State Association of Counties, we can tap counties to figure out how it's worked for them, some obstacles they've overcome, and how we can really take their processes and make it work for our island community.
That sounds like something that would be quite valuable because all governments pretty much budget the same way or have in the past, the same way our county is doing it today. From my reading, it looks like several municipalities have adopted this. What else should we talk about?
Like Ashley mentioned, you know, those partnerships, just serving on the nonprofit grant and aid, there is an underbelly of community that really needs government. If this is a way to really drill down to those places of poverty, places of homelessness, places where our kids just need a hot meal, if we could do this and align better, we really be improving our community in a well-rounded way. And I'm excited about that. I'm not afraid to tackle that. I don't think Ashley is either. And I think when we talk about leadership, We talk about serving community. That's where we got to go.
Clearly, budget is not particularly glamorous, and you two are so excited about this, and I am delighted that you are. This is an opportunity to make a change. This may not be the perfect solution, but it's a step, so I really appreciate your talking about it. Ashley.
Sherry, you know, one last thing. Why right now is the perfect time because of the Aloha Plus Challenge, but we're updating the general plan. We've got the recovery plan for Puna, and so when you think about that and also the updated version of the SEDS, the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, you have a lot of plans that are essentially words on paper set on a shelf. How do we then begin to position our operating budget and our capital improvement budget to start acting upon these plans and implementing a lot of the recommendations that have been put forth? Now is the time.
Sue. And building off of our capital improvement projects, that just turns into a wish list. If this creates the excitement where we maybe dump out that bucket of wishes and line them up and prioritize them better based on the Aloha Plus Challenge, what other municipals are doing, then we actually start delivering the infrastructure, the much needed aging infrastructure that we have right now, and delivering that back to our constituency. That's how government is supposed to be working. I'm really interested about tackling that capital improvement project bucket of list of wishes. We saw recently where there was money left in those CIP projects. We combed out all that extra money. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. Like Ashley said, I'm excited. We can have fun with it. We really can.
I am so happy you girls want to have fun with the budget. This is so cool. This is going to be a very interesting upcoming year, 2020. I'm looking forward to it. Let me just digress and note that you both are up for election in 2020. Will you, Sue Lilio, be running again for your council position?
Absolutely. I really want to continue the hard work that I'm doing. We've created some great partnerships with my colleagues here. I'm excited. You know, going from freshman to sophomore status. This will be moving into my junior year, and I'm just really excited. I think we have a phenomenal class with the council, and I thank Ashley and Tim and Aaron, our council chair. He has been a phenomenal leader. When you have leadership like that, I just get really hungry about delivering and meeting those goals and objectives that he set forth for us. And yep, I'm going to be exactly where I'm at, Council District 3.
Okay, and Ashley Kirkowitz, you are representing part of Puna. Will you be running in 2020?
I will absolutely be running. I've been here a year, and I can't even tell you how rewarding it's been to be a champion of the community, especially through the recovery process. In my capacity right now, I have a lot of kuleana, chairing planning, chairing government relations, economic development, and also the delegate to HSAC, on top of what we're doing for budgeting for outcomes, and Puna Recovery, so invested in the county. I mean, Sue and I, we are mother of children that we want to give an option to stay here. So we are very much invested in how this budgeting for outcomes turns out and everything that Hawaii County does to serve our constituents.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're both running for re-election because I would hate to spend all this time talking about a process and find out you're not even going to stick around to make sure it happens. Anything else before we say aloha? Sue Liloi?
Oh, no, thank you, Sherry. I'm just really excited about this next year. We've learned a lot. We've struggled through a lot, but we've come out with a lot of lessons learned and a way to do things differently, and I'm really excited. Sherry, thank you for always doing this. I think this by far is the best way to really share the intimate experiences that we have here on the council and really let the larger community know that Ashley and I are constantly thinking about the community long before ourselves.
Ashley Kirkowitz, what would you like to say as we say aloha?
Thank you, Sherry. Clearly, Sue and I are very excited. You know, at the end of the day, it's about building thriving communities, giving people choices, giving people platforms to access resources and opportunities so that they can harness their gift. And when they do, we're going to create a Hawaii island where everyone is naturally uplifted and thriving. So thank you so much for your time.
Council members Ashley Kirkowitz and Sue Liloi, thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for being with us. This is Island Conversations. I'm Sherry Bracken. You may catch the podcast wherever you get podcasts or online at kwxx.com or b97hawaii.com. Until the next Island Conversations, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Conversations with Sherry Bracken, available anytime at kwxx.com. We welcome your feedback and suggestions at info@kwxx.com. Join us next week for another Island Conversations with Sherry Bracken, brought to you by KTA Superstores, where you're someone special every day since 1916.